Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
518 if you need me, otherwise give us a bell.
Thanks so much, Joel.
Thank you.
Aww. I prefer me to Dave.
Four weeks, I'll smash it out. 7 weeks?
That's long.
I'm not Mark Rylance. I can't do this shit. Get me back on a TV set where I'm being paid too much money to do not very much.
Oh my God, it's so much money.
It's so much money to do nothing. To hold some linen and stand behind Jenna Coleman. Jenna, if you're listening, please give me a call.
You were so good at holding that linen.
Oh, you know.
Do you know what? The only thing about TV though, yeah.
Mm.
Is it takes ages?
It takes ages. Most of the time, it's not creatively satisfying.
Yeah,
you do get treated well, but you also do get you don't get treated like an artist. You get treated like
a prop,
unless you're number one or number two, or doing a really great job where people are nice. But
did I tell you about when I was in?
Was that the one where you had to do the sex scene?
No, that was...
That wasn't the one where you vomited on everyone.
The Last Kingdom, no, that was genius. Oh. God, I've done loads of telly.
You've worked so much, it's really...
Wow.
This is the part of the episode where my thinly veiled competitiveness towards Helen being more successful than me comes out. Happens every episode, guys.
Can I tell you about though, and I am going to bleep that out. So I was playing this maid, obviously, and... And there'd been this thing where I was cast in it as a sort of semi-series regular where the maid was going to be in it a few episodes.
Yeah.
Then the part got cut. Then I was told, oh, she's back in it, but only for one episode. And there was these few scenes where, like, something had an affair or something. Then it got cut, so I was just in one scene handing someone a hairpin. So I had about three lines.
Yeah.
So I was obviously like, well, that's fine. Excited to go have three lines. I did my scene where I had to answer the door and say my three lines. And the director, who I hadn't met, was offset, just shouted from off, "Can we lose the maid?" Right, but the worst thing was...
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right, that is what we should call the spin-off, by the way.
Can we lose the maid?
Yeah.
They then, the AD, so that's the assistant director who, it was the second AD, I think. They're basically, there's somebody who sort of manages where you stand and when you need to go and all that kind of stuff. They moved me out of shot, but I was trapped against a wall with a, it was a locked door essentially, so I was still on the set. And they then started filming the scene and I couldn't move forward because I would have gone into shot. So I had to spend the next like hour and a half just stood against this wall.
What, and you couldn't just leave?
I was too self-conscious to leave.
Oh, I would have flounced. Can we lose the maid?
To be honest, it was so funny. I absolutely was laughing.
Yeah, it is funny.
And because my part was only three lines anyway, I wasn't like devastated that I'd been cut.
That's show business, kid.
That's showbiz. I also got cut from Bridget Jones's Baby.
You did, with London Hughes. You both got cut,
yeah,
did you?
We did.
Yeah. Brutal.
Brutal.
Speaking of show business,
let's do Simon Cowell. So this is Bitchin'. Every week we pick a different person to talk about, and this week we're going to talk about Simon Cowell.
The godfather of Too High Trousers, Simon Cowell.
You know, though, I've been Googling him when he was younger.
Mm.
He's very good looking.
When he was younger?
Yeah, have a Google.
Okay, I'm going to Google Simon Cowell Young. Yeah, in a sort of bushy way. I actually don't see it.
Is that just because you know what he became?
No, just not my type.
Oh, no. These aren't the pictures that I found. Maybe it was a different person.
Are these the ones you found where he looks like a low rent Freddie Mercury?
Yeah.
He looks dreadful. That hair is like me in Strange Fruit.
Is that what you look like? You look great.
That's what my hair is doing in Strange Fruit.
Really? It does a flick. Yeah. Oh, mate. Do you look good?
No.
Oh, no, I've seen your Instagram stories.
No, I do, actually. The costumes are really lovely.
You're a beautiful woman.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you know as well, you're a beautiful young person, but you've continued to blossom into a beautiful woman.
What do you want? So you think he's fit?
Do you want to guess his net worth?
£85 billion.
Come on. Don't do that thing.
Okay. 500 million?
You're still higher than he actually is.
300 million.
Yeah, 325 right, okay. million. So my boyfriend, who has shown very little interest in this podcast. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Remember me? We went to uni together.
He has sent me an email full of things about Simon Cowell. So this thing happened in Matt's childhood where he obsessively watched Pop Idol, The X Factor, and then he started doing his A-levels and he has no cultural references since that point.
Right.
So his cultural references are predominantly to do with
it's
Simon
all
Cowell.
Making sense now.
Yeah. So if you sort of say anything, he'll be like, oh, that reminds me of, and then he'll say some really obscure, like, X
Pop
Factor.
Idol. Yeah. That reminds me of when Darius came on and everyone thought that he was a dick, but actually. Can I tell you one of the X Factor contestants I always fancied so much?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Rydian.
Who is Rydian?
I would have smashed in Rydian. And he was utterly off his box.
They all are.
He was crackers.
It does take advantage of mentally ill people, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. But not necessarily always mentally ill people. Sometimes people are just eccentric.
Or sometimes people with disabilities.
I don't think Rydian is either of those things. I think he was just a bit eccentric.
I don't
a bit
remember
camp.
Him, Rydian.
He was the one who had the voice like this. He like sang Phantom of the Opera on the show, and he had the hair like that. He kind of looked like an android.
What's he doing now? Do you know?
I don't know. I think he just like releases classical albums that
all
women buy.
Oh, him!
Yeah,
he looks like that guy from Buffy.
Yeah, he's kind of got a look of that about him. Yeah,
he looks like what was his name in Buffy?
Spike.
Spike. Mm.
So Matt sent you an email.
Yeah, so I'm just going to read out the things that he sent me. If that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's absolutely... So his kind of plan is that he wants to do a show where he gets all of the old X Factor finalists.
Oh, cool. Another excuse not to cast me.
Matt's a director. And he...
He doesn't like me. It's fine, it's fine.
He loves you.
It's a sticking point in mine and Helen's relationship, but eventually me and Helen will get married anyway and it'll be...
And we'll kill Matt.
Yeah.
He loves you. He wants to do a show with all the X Factor finalists who are no longer working.
And
No longer with us. Do you know, it is a bit of a point. You know, we were talking in the podcast about... Jeremy Kyle, we were talking about the culture of Love Island and that sort of short-term fame leading to...
Deep depression.
Yeah, and in some cases suicide. That's set with shows like The X Factor as well, isn't it, where you are so famous.
It's like, I mean, I think we've both had a little taste of it ourselves. Not in as big a way, but like, I was watching this video that's from Russell Brand that someone else had liked, hence why it was on my timeline. Talking about how when he did the film Arthur, which was a critical and commercial failure, he was the saddest he's ever been in his whole life because he thought that it would be this huge thing and he would be this, like, you know, he thought he was going to be like this really well-respected actor when it came out.
I see.
And that didn't happen. Just talking about how, like, kind of as soon as you put everything, which is so easily done, especially in our line of work, as soon as you put your sense of worth and all your validation eggs in the basket of the thing you're about to do or whatever you're doing, you're kind of pretty sure you're damning yourself, really. Because I remember when I got Victoria, I kind of couldn't help... I mean, I'd never done anything that big before. I kind of just did assume that when that came out, my life would change, and it didn't. And that's so, it's so painful. It's also really shameful because you feel ashamed for having been duped by the bigness of it and, like, you know, being at dinner with Jenna Coleman and Rufus Sewell and thinking, oh my God, I'm just like Rufus Sewell now. And you're not. You're not. But the thing you just... I mean, I don't think it would happen to me now. Now I go into everything with expectations lower than the floor. But it's so... At least I do something where people do respect my talent and they respect my time with money as well. But something like reality TV, where you have all these expectations of, like, you could become Little Mix or you could become fucking One Direction. Yeah. It must be so, so painful to do that, and then you don't, but then people at the corner shop still recognise you, go, ah, you're so-and-so from...
Well, that's it. It must be so hard to think what... You feel like you can't just go and get a job in Tesco if you've been on The X Factor, because you are in some way kind of... It's almost like that would feel like a step backwards, but equally, for so many of these people, I will read out their names. You just... I don't remember who they are. But as well, what you said about being at dinner with Jenna Coleman is also interesting, because I think this thing happens where when you're aspiring towards something, particularly if that thing is sort of fame related, you kind of imagine... I don't know if you do this. I imagine somebody else... It's me having become somebody else rather than the lifestyle changing. And I think that's what's always surprising, is I bet even if you are a Little Mix of One Direction, it must be surprising that you haven't actually changed, because you kind of imagine that you would change with the fame and become a bigger and better version of you, and actually you're still just, you know, you got all your warts and all. That's so interesting, though, because I'm the opposite to you, where I always thought I'm the optimist and you're the pessimist, and actually I've always gone into every job assuming that...
It's not going to go anywhere.
No one will watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And normally they don't. Or normally I get cut.
Hey, it's happened to all of us.
Can we lose the maid?
Can we lose the maid? Can we lose the maid? She's jarring.
So, do you remember Steve Brookstein?
Yes, he's now a renowned racist. Congrats, Steve.
Do you remember Shane Ward?
Yeah, that's my goal, baby.
He actually has done all right, you know. He went.
Yeah, he's in Korea. Yeah.
Well, he's left.
Good for him.
He killed himself in the show.
Oh God.
But it was a really important storyline that raised awareness around male suicide.
Great.
And he's thought to have since been cast as in a psychological drama called Stairs. Leona Lewis, we know her.
Yeah.
Leon.
Keep bleeding. Keep bleeding. Leona Lewis looks like she pulls the wings off butterflies.
What? What do you mean?
She's just... Oh. Is she an actor now, is she?
So what's she doing? She did really well with Psycho, which is...
Psycho!
Psycho what's his name? Who we're talking about?
Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell's label.
Oh!
What?
I thought... That, like, Psycho was another psychological thriller that Leona Lewis had been cast in.
No, Psycho, S-Y-C-O, is the name
of Simon Cowell's company.
Company. Is that because it's like Psy and Co?
Simon Company.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, maybe because he's a psycho.
Yeah, probably that. She did, what did she do? She was in Andrew Lloyd Webber's returning musical Cats in 2016.
Who's that? Andrew Lloyd Webber's?
The plural of Andrew Lloyd Webber is Andrew Lloyd Webber's.
Yeah.
She was in that playing Grisabella. Mm-hmm. However, just 4 months in the role, she stepped down. Since then, the London native has featured... Who's written this? With a number of artists.
Is this on Matt's email?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? What's wrong with him? He runs a theatre company. Why has he written all this?
No, he's not written it. He's copied and pasted it. In June 2018, she worked with Pitbull to release the lead single, Amour, from the film Gotti. Leon Jackson, do you remember them?
No. Now we're getting into the territory of...
Yeah.
I don't care.
Well, what's confusing is you've got Leon Jackson, 2007, Alexandra Burke, 2008, so I remember her.
Oh, yeah, I know who you mean. And she does musicals now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was in The Bodyguard, and then she was in Sister Act. And then she did Strictly Come Dancing, and she got to the final, and now she's in Chicago.
Cool.
Sorry, this is dull.
Love Chicago. It's a good show.
Joe McKeldry.
Oh, when he sang with George Michael.
I didn't see it.
Oh, have you not seen it?
What happens?
My God.
What
is it? Oh, it's the sweetest thing you've ever seen in your whole entire life.
He failed to get to Christmas number one.
Yeah.
Because that was the year that everybody campaign to get Rage Against the Machine to number one, including previous X Factor winner Steve Brookstein was part of the campaign to get Rage Against the Machine to Christmas number one. Steve Brookstein, who'd won.
Who does not align with any of the views that the members of Rage Against the Machine hold. A literal anti-colonialist, anti-Eurocentric band. He probably just thought that they do guitars and scream.
And he's also just personally bitter, isn't he, about the X Factor not making him as famous as he wanted it to make him. Go on then, let's see Joe McElderry and George Michael. Who's that?
That's Joe McElderry.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh my God, he's 12. Does he not know he's coming?
No, he knows. He knows he's coming.
This is terrible.
Oh, I think he's doing an all right job.
He's doing an all right job. This show is,
yeah,
terrible. Is that George Michael?
Yes, it's George Michael.
Are you sure?
Yes. Right, give me the phone back. You're not allowed to watch anymore. You've shown disrespect to George.
So that was Joe McElderry.
Is that him? Lose the maid?
He's 9 years after winning the X Factor, he's returned to the stage, and you can currently see him in concert across the UK.
Good for him. Close the door.
Matt Cardle. Do you remember him?
Sounds like a craft beer.
Little Mix then in 2011, they've done all right, haven't they?
Oh yeah, I like the Little Mixes.
They're good. James Arthur was the year after that. He's done all right as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he was not nice though, wasn't he?
Was he not nice?
I think so. I can't remember what he did. I'll find out right now.
Yeah, go on, Google him. Why is he a bad, bad man? Who's this? Sam Bailey? Mentored by Sharon Osbourne. Is he?
I've got a friend called Sam Bailey who writes plays.
Did he win the Papa Tango? Your mate Sam Bailey. Oh, yeah. Well done, Sam!
Yeah. X Factor winner James Arthur has become embroiled in a war of words with fellow contestant Lucy Spraggan, the latest in a string of public relations missteps. The 25-year-old recently quit Twitter after a criticism of a rap battle in which he used the word queer. He reacted angrily when comedians Matt Lucas and Frankie Boyle challenged him, but later apologised. However, exchanges continued offline in a string of abusive texts to Spraggan. Lucy, what are you playing having digs at me? You not think you're being a bit over the top? Is it because you're a gay rights activist you had to say something as extreme as people kill themselves every day over words like queer? Are you for real? Arthur then pointed out his album sold 10 times yours in its first week.
Mate.
Yeah.
It's like playground arguing, but put really publicly because they've all become famous accidentally by going on The X Factor. All right, look, we've got Ben Haino, Louisa Johnson.
Louisa Johnson, I know that one.
Do you know her?
She did that song that I like.
She won the
show. She's an amazing singer, isn't she?
She parted ways with Psycho in the summer of 2018, so that was after she... This is the thing, so they win, and then he signs them, and then he drops them.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plot like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast app. Apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Did you see his big fallout with Simon Fuller?
No, what happened?
So Simon Cowell and Simon Fuller set up Pop Idol, mm-hmm. famous for Will and Gareth Gates, yeah. Will Young and Gareth Gates.
Icons.
Simon Cowell then went and did The X Factor, and Simon Fuller basically sued him for stealing the format of the show but not taking him with him. And they ended up in this huge like legal battle where lots of like public things were said.
Yeah.
Simon Fuller wanted crediting as an executive producer of The X Factor, and he said that he was owed millions of dollars in fees. Simon Cowell responded saying, "You can't give someone an executive producer's title if they didn't executive produce the show." And there was this huge kind of standoff. Simon Fuller's responsible for Spice Girls the movie. He's like a big...
God bless him.
Yeah, well, this
and
is
all
the
who's
thing.
Sailing him. What a fucking legend.
He
best
sounds
film
awful,
of all
though.
Time.
He told S Club 7, "I could put cardboard cutouts of you on stage and it wouldn't make any difference."
Ah! God,
funny and
horrible.
True or yeah. awful?
Both. Something could be funny and cruel at the same time.
And also, it's not true. S Club 7 are amazing.
Yeah. God bless them.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. in peace.
Did you go and see S Club 3 when they came to... was it S Club 2 or S Club 3 when they came to Sheffield Uni?
Absolutely not.
They were really good, but they got really angry because we all were screaming Reach for the Stars because we really wanted them to play Reach for the Stars, and they had all this new stuff.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I felt really
Who's
bad.
Doing a uni tour and thinking anyone wants to hear the new stuff?
But this kind of public spat between Fuller and Cowell...
Mm.
There's been a lot of sort of like writing on it around it, and the fact that it's a clash of egos, really, isn't it? It's these two ultimately incredibly powerful men who have huge amounts of money and control.
Both called Simon.
And there wasn't enough.
I just had to make that observation.
I thought Simon Fuller presented Sunday brunch until I Googled it. He had an affair with Danny Minogue.
Did he?
Well, he says he did.
Yeah.
He did a splash of My Affair with Danny. He'd recently split up with his partner. He said they had many nights of passion. He describes her as being appealing to a manly man. "I was like a schoolboy. She was foxy. She was a real man's girl."
What? She was a real man's girl?
Very feminine. It was genuine love.
She was a real man-sized tissue. I just had to screw up and...
So
blow my nose
weird.
On her.
They were having a bit of a toss about at the same time that Sharon Osbourne, who was my kind of childhood hero,
I love Sharon Osbourne.
I went
Osbourne.
To the hairdresser with a picture of her so that I could have my hair like
Did
her.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
And Louis Walsh.
Have you heard about what Sharon Osbourne does to people she doesn't like? She sends them...
Poo!
She sends them poo in the
Human
post.
Poo.
She sends them her own shit. And another story which I read, I don't know if I read it on Potbitch or somewhere else. So apparently... She once sent this thing to this office. I don't know what they'd done to her, but it was just like a single wine gum. And everyone was like running around like, "Oh my God, no one eat the wine gum. Don't eat the wine gum." And someone had already eaten it. And they were like, "Why? Why wouldn't we eat the sweets that we've been given?" And she puts them up her vagina and then sends them to people. Puts them up her fanny and then sends them to me. Oh,
I mean,
she's also pissed in people's whiskey bottles.
Stop
as well.
It!
Yeah,
stop
she's pissed
saying,
in people's whiskey
is she
bottles.
Okay,
she's just a pure legend, mate. Just don't fuck with her.
That's sick.
Oh, she's sick.
I'm regret taking the picture of her into my hairdresser. So it created a division between Sharon and Louis and.
Why? The
Danny
fact, the fact that he was boning.
There was sort of this culture where Sharon and Louis were really mean to Danny, and she said if it hadn't been for Simon, she would have quit the show.
Oh.
So it was all tense at X Factor Land. Do you know, I met someone who worked on the X Factor, and they said that Simon Cowell used to do this thing where the whole... You know, they do those live shows where just a full arena audience is in, like thousands of people, and it would be like time to start filming, and he would order a facial... and he would just sit there having a facial. And I was like, what do you mean? And she said it was because he knew that he wanted to feel so important, and he knew that they needed the show to start, but they also couldn't do it without him. And it made that kind of power dynamic really clear, of the producer going, come on, Simon, we need you on the stage, and him going, well, you're not going to have me until I've had my facial. Does that make you like him or hate him? I can't tell by your face.
I'm going to go with hate. They know they can't do the show without you. There's no need to be a dick until people are being a dick to you, and then you can send them a wine gum in the past.
I really dislike him, and I dislike the format of the show and everything, but then also sometimes I look at his life and I'm like, you look like you're having such a nice time.
Yeah.
He just gets to hang out with the coolest peoples. He looks at people's peoples.
Gets to hang out with the coolest Andrew Lloyd Webbers.
I just love adding S's to things. Make them plural. Do you want to hear all the people that he's fired?
Yeah.
Louis Walsh.
Great. Several times, and then brought him back from the dead several times.
Mel B. She only made it through once.
Oh, though. Mel B.
Connie Hook.
What?
Who used to present before Dermot O'Leary. And then this article on thetelegraph.co.uk is making a link between her departure. Maybe some clues can be found to the Black Mirror episode Hook co-wrote that aired a few months later, which is the one, you know, that was a sort of satire on talent competition
I've
shows.
I've never seen Black Mirror.
It's one of the first series episodes where they're sort of competing on a talent show that's very much modelled on The X Factor. But I don't believe that was out of spite of being fired, because it only aired a few months after. Who knows? But
maybe she got fired because she was writing it.
Oh, yeah, maybe. He fired Kate Thornton, do you remember her?
Can we lose the maid?
Cheryl Cole. He fired James Arthur. He fired his security guard.
How does Matt know this?
This is on thetelegraph.co.uk.
Oh, right, okay. He sent you the link.
Yeah. And there was all this stuff with Cheryl Cole. He says he wished he'd had an affair with her. He really fancied her, but she was married to Ashley Cole at the time.
Mm. Married to Ashley Cole at the time.
Make of that what you will.
Uh-huh.
You can't see air quotes on the radio.
The radio. You're 100 years old.
We're on the wireless. So he's really fickle, and he just fires people and he steals people's ideas, i.e. pop idol, and goes and does it himself.
Mm.
And is all powerful. And that's bad.
Agreed. I just think it's such a lazy way of claiming to support new talent. It's such a lazy and cynical way of doing it.
Yeah.
If we scrapped those shows and put the money into something that like actually fostered people who were talented.
Yeah. But I think it's a consequence of coming out of the minds of people like Simon Cowell and Simon Fuller, where they're not creators themselves. Mm. They just surround themselves. And this is why I'm jealous of their lives. And he looks like he's having such a lovely time.
Oh, yeah.
They just surround themselves with really amazing, talented people. And they are the vehicle that can get them stardom. And then it's not actually about, I don't know, it's easy to say this, but it doesn't feel like it's actually about, nurturing the craft or the art.
It's about what success sticks and who does it stick for quickly.
And selling people a dream that, as we've listed, all those kind of winners doesn't always last that long. It's actually not really about what happens after the show. It's about the entertainment of the show itself, isn't it? So that was Simon Cowell, sort of.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think that we should all go and find musicians and artists that we really love and support them in ways that we can.
Hell yeah.
So they don't have to go on The X Factor. But I also really want his life. He goes on such nice holidays.
You'll get there. You probably won't get to, you know, multi-millionaire levels.
325 million net worth. I wouldn't want that, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, you are a communist as well, so, I mean, you are a far-left millennial, our latest iTunes review. Listen, guys, if you listen to the podcast, please write us a nice review on iTunes, because it's only the people from the cesspit of the internet who write reviews. So if we can get more people who actually do listen to it and who love us to write reviews.
I really want us to do an episode about someone as controversial as Tommy Robinson again, because it gets our listener figures up.
Yeah, but I don't want death threats, Helen.
I love it. I think if you're getting death threats, then you're doing something right.
Did you get any death threats when you were doing Trojan Horse?
No.
No.
No, we got some very middle-class white people being annoyed, because that's really the people that we were criticising. Nick Timothy, the advisor to Theresa May called me a left-wing media type in the Telegraph,
which mood.
Was, I'm getting framed and put on my
mood.
Wall. I just was so happy that he knew who I was. I was like, it's cool. But no death threats yet. It's going on till this autumn, so we'll find out.
Yeah.
I think it'll be all right.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Yeah,
it's not coming to London.
It absolutely is.
Oh, is it? Where's it going?
Battersea Arts Centre.
Oh, great. Okay. Good.
I'll let you know deets. Yeah, but come see Who Cares? We're at the Edinburgh Fringe Summer Hall.
Also, should we say...
So, go on.
If you have anything that you've been dying for us to talk about, or a question that you would like answered by me or Helen, or some advice from either me or Helen, it can be anonymous if you'd like to be anonymous.
Or a comment in response to a previous episode that you want us to read out.
Anything. Please do get in touch. You can message us directly on the Bitchin' Podcast Instagram or on the Twitter.
But we love chatting to people on Twitter and Insta. So let's bring that conversation into the studio.
Yes.
Okay, we love you so much.
We love you so much.
Shout out to Dave.
Shout out to everyone who's listening.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening to Bitchin', a podcast by Tilly Steele and Helen Monks. Our music was by Dave Cribb and our artwork was by Luke W. Robson.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.